Okay, thank you very much. It is good to be here this morning. You know, when I was here as pastor, they a lot of times thought I was crazy, but now they're going to start thinking Brother Jody's crazy for doing things like this. But I say amen. 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 Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to the book of Luke, chapter 24. Chapter 24. And verse 46, page 1112 in your Schofield Reference Bible, King James Version. Luke 24, verse 46. And he said unto them, it's in there, keep looking. Luke 24, 46. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and the repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And then Jesus said, and ye are witnesses, all witnesses of these things. Then turn over to Matthew, the 28th chapter. Matthew 28. Three last verses of that chapter, the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's bow our heads and ask God to help us today. Father, we thank you for this privilege of one more time this side of eternity, Lord, coming back to the house of God. Thank you, Lord, for this church, the way you've blessed it, Lord, down through the years since 1779. Lord, you've blessed us, and we need your help today, Lord, in this service. We ask the Lord God of heaven to come and impress upon our hearts this challenge that you left us before you left this world, dear Jesus, of going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. Help me, Lord. I confess before God and man I can't preach, Lord, unless you help me. Would you anoint me? Anoint the people here today. And Lord, may we do the will of God on this faith promised Sunday. I pray somebody here not saved. Never, if they died, I would be lost, Lord. Never received Jesus. I pray today they'll walk this aisle and gladly receive Christ and leave here on their way to heaven. Again, help us now. And may the will of God be done today. Twice I have felt called to the mission field back in my younger days. Once out in Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas. They had a great missions day out there. And Dr. Tal Guy, a great mission statesman and teacher there in missions, preached. And I don't know, there's 50 to 100 at least young men and young women that came forward an invitation and surrendered to go into the world and preach the gospel as missionaries. And I was one of them. But just shortly right after that seemed the call left me. And I didn't understand for a while. Then again, right before I met my wife, I went up to Illinois and Youth for Christ, went over to the Youth for Christ conference and went on to Lake Indiana and a great mission service there. They gave an invitation for the young men to surrender themselves to go down into Latin America and South America as missionaries to young people. Well, again, I felt impressed of the Lord to go offer myself. But the director of missions for Youth for Christ, I was single at that time, and he said, we don't send any single men among those warm-souled young people in Latin America. So that stopped that. And I thought, I thought that the Lord had called me to missions, and the thought left me, and I've often wondered why. But I believe that one of the reasons, or I have two reasons down here. I believe that the Lord, wanted to see if I'd be willing to go as a missionary around the world. And I thought He was calling me, and I surrendered. That's all I could do. But it seemed like then I felt the call leave me. And one of the reasons I believe that I felt the call back then, and one of the reasons He did not send me to the mission field, is He wanted me to come to Gray here in East Tennessee and build an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing King James church, soul-winning church here on these grounds. I believe that. I'm convinced of that. Then second, I believe that the Lord led me here and didn't lead me to the mission field. He wanted me to come here and start 40 years ago a faith promise program. And at that time, I hoped in my soul that we'd someday, Brother Jody, be able to reach $100,000 in faith promise. And the first year we got $5,000. I'll say more about that in a few minutes. And so I believe the Lord wanted me to come here as the pastor to start a faith promise world mission program. Now the Lord didn't let me go to the mission field, but he called my son, and he spent 15 years in Brazil. But we had our first Faith Promise Sunday about 40 years ago. I think it's about 1970. And as I said, we committed $5,000 to missions. That is above the tithe. Faith Promise is what the Lord wants you to give into missions each week during the next 52 weeks above your tithe and what you're presently giving to the church. And I believe that program that God laid on my heart, and that wasn't original to me, other churches were using it, and I believe the Lord led me to start it here, but I believe it's birthed in heaven, and it has been, down through the years, has been signally blessed of God. It has grown until last year, I believe, Brother Jody, last year, we went up a little over 300,000, I think, in Faith Promise Missions. And one night this past week, when I started this Faith Promise program, one fine preacher, and he's a good man, he's in heaven right now, but he was my friend, and he thought he's helping me, and he said, Brother Gene, he said, if you get your people too interested in foreign missions, they won't be concerned about doing anything at home. Well, that bothered me, but the Lord impressed me not to buy that kind of thinking, and He laid it on my heart, this is a great thing, that if we would take care of His business here, if we'd take care of His business and world evangelism, He would take care of our business here. And so, has the Lord kept His word? Yes. The Lord has blessed Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church since getting involved in a great home and foreign mission program. Praise His name. Now, in 1970, we were having about a little over 300 in Sunday school. And we had $1,000 a week offering. That's $52,000 a year. And since that time, God has, that dear preacher friend of mine, he thought he was helping me and saying we wouldn't be interested in doing anything at home, but we've had as high as 1,500 in Sunday school on a big day and have a high average of 766 in Sunday school. And then the last 5 years, the income of this church has been over $1 million a year. So the Lord has blessed us. We obeyed and took care of His business, and the Lord has blessed us here and took care of our business. And I thank the Lord for that. Now, and then also, I was thinking this morning, too, about how much we've given to missions since we started this Faith Promise mission program around 40 years ago. It has to be up into the millions of dollars, that we've given. And since we started this program, millions of dollars to go around the world to tell people about Jesus. That's what missions is. But also, God has reached down, folks, here in our midst and called out a number of our fine members to go into the regions beyond. And since we started the Faith Mission Program, we've had, 12 or 15 people from our church go to the mission field. And as far as I know, we never had one missionary in the history of our long history of our church to go to the mission field. But since we started Faith Promise, we've had at least 12 or 15. So we thank God for that. So it was a blessed thing when the Lord directed this pastor in our church to get involved in a Faith Promise worldwide mission program about 40 years ago. And we constantly have reports from missionaries and of souls saved down in and all over North America and in South America, and Europe, Africa, Asia, the Philippines. I mean, they're winning thousands every year. Some of our missionaries are in the Philippines. And our mission program is near to my heart. And I thank God for that. He raised the Faith Promise mission program up here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Now, I'm going to speak to you this morning on why have a Faith Promise program. Why have a Faith Promise program? First of all, because it's scriptural. Now, the test of anything where it's right or wrong, or is or not, if it's a good idea, or if everybody feels good about it, there's little Jesus mixed in with it. But the thing is it scriptural? Does it line up with the book? I'm glad a Faith Promise mission program that seeks to burden people, to reach, burden God's people to reach souls around the world is completely and thoroughly biblical. Folks, this morning, the heartbeat of the Word of God is world evangelization. Jesus said in Matthew, as I read already, Matthew 28:19-20, go ye therefore and teach or disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. That could mean the rapture of the church, the end of this dispensation. In Mark 16:15, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So, members of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, you must either go yourself. You're commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So you must either go yourself or give and go or give and pray that others may go. So you need to, if the Lord's not calling you, you need to give today and pray so others can go. Then Acts 1:8, Jesus said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and at the uttermost part of the earth. Then 1 John 2:2. Now, I'm giving you the scriptural basis for a Faith Promise program. In 1 John 2:2, and he, Jesus, is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the elect. Is that what it said? Oh. He is a propitiation. I'll spit it out in a minute here. He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Thank God. Over in heaven, in Revelation 5:9, it says, they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation. So our Faith Promise program is scriptural because it seeks to carry out the clear command of God's word to reach a world for Jesus Christ. Why have a Faith Promise program? First, it's scriptural. And then second, because of a spoiling harvest. Jesus said in John 4:35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Jesus didn't say, now, you have plenty of time, so just sort of take your time, take it easy. We don't have to get in a hurry about this thing. Why, we've got 4 months until harvest comes. Jesus said, look out right now to those fields. They're white, ripe, all ready for harvest. And they're spoiling for someone to go in and harvest. In our gardens this summer, you that had a garden, you had squash and okra and corn, beans, some of those goodies, you know, and tomatoes and other things. But the fall is coming, and frost and freezing weather will kill the plants, and harvest time will be over. Jeremiah 8:20 says, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we're not saved. Folks, now we need to see, here's the reason for a Faith Promise program. Millions of souls around the world during the next 12 months will go to hell unless we do something to reach them for Jesus Christ. You understand that? Listen, while you're seated here this morning, every breath, now think not just every minute or every second, but every breath you draw, seven or eight souls are slipping out into eternity. Around the world right now, while I'm standing here, snapping my fingers, seven or eight souls are going out into eternity unprepared to meet God. Oh, that ought to break our hearts. Lost without Jesus. Lost without hope for all eternity. So I say unto you, look on a world that is spoiling for a harvest. Then why have a faith mission promise program? Because it's scriptural, because of a spoiling harvest, and also because of a personal debt. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 1:14, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. Now, Paul is saying in this verse, he's a debtor to everyone. He had been saved, and he felt he had an obligation to tell everyone about this so great salvation. And folks, you and I have that same obligation. If we've been saved, the Lord saved me many years ago, told you about it many times. I dealt in the mourner's bench when I was 13 years old, trusted Christ as my Savior. And as I've told you before, the town drunk got saved on the other side of the mourner's bench, shouted all over the place, scared me to death. We both left there saved, and both became Baptist preachers. Now, I have been saved. If you have been saved, then you and I have a debt to get the gospel to the people around the world. We're debtors. And then, if you saw a building on fire, there was a building you knew with a bomb was in there going to go off and had been planted and said nothing about it and folks were killed, you would be guilty of criminal negligence. And the world is headed for the fires of God's judgment. And listen, folks, we will be guilty of negligence if we don't seek to win the world to Jesus Christ. I've read three or four times a biography of Hudson Taylor. It's a two-volume biography. And there's a story in there that always haunts me every time I read it. Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, led a Chinese man to the Lord. And after he got saved, he said, how long have you known about this? And he said, back in England, over hundreds of years. And he said, why didn't someone come and tell my father and my grandfather? How sad. Now let me stop right here and just warn you of a couple of wrong attitudes we can take toward missions. First of all, now folks, we're emphasizing home and foreign missions now, but we can't neglect the home church. I am a local church man. I believe in that the local church is where it's going on. And it may be more sensational to give to China or Mexico or Russia or Brazil or somewhere else. But did you know your first responsibility is to Gray and the Tri-City area? That's your first responsibility. The greatest thing that could happen to missions is for us to have a strong base for missions here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. But it is not an either-or situation. It's both and. Reach them at home and then reach them in the regions beyond. Now, your tithe ought to go to this church to reach this mission field here and then give sacrificially. That's what you're going to be asked to do this morning in your faith promise offering. As the Lord leads. Now, again, it's as the Lord leads. We're not going to put pressure on you to give any certain amount. But as the Lord has enabled you and as the Lord leads to give, as God leads to worldwide missions. But nothing should hinder or come ahead of the local church. It should take first place. It should be a priority. But also we have a responsibility to the whole world. Then a second wrong attitude that's prevalent sometimes among God's people is we use missions as a scapegoat for not winning souls at home. Some churches and people shed crocodile tears for the heathen and heathen darkness, but never talk to a lost friend or neighbor around them about Jesus Christ. Dr. Lakin one time said, speaking to the WMU ladies, he said, you weep over Africa and never say a word to the bootblack down at the corner hotel in the barbershop. And praying and giving for missions doesn't relieve you of your responsibility to being a soul winner right here. Last night, a man sitting here this morning, he came up to him and talked to me, and I said, now, when did you get saved? And I'd forgotten, but he said, preacher, last night, years ago, I was going under the underpass down here and went home, and I got under conviction, 18 years old, and my daddy called you, and you came down to the house, and I got saved. I'll tell you, that puts you on shouting ground. And here he has been living for the Lord and sitting here in this service this morning. I'll tell you, that's folks, that's what we're in the business for, is to win people to Jesus Christ. Then a fourth reason for having a faith promise program is because of the judgment seat of Christ. There is a judgment seat of Christ. Turn with me in your Bible, please, to 2 Corinthians, the fifth chapter. 2 Corinthians 5. Verses 10 and 11, page 1233 in your old Schofield Reference Bible. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. For we must all, he's talking to the church at Corinth, talking to Christians now. For we must all appear, every Christian, and we have been saved from judgment. Said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. When Jesus comes back and we're called up to meet him, the first thing we're going to do is stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ and have our life reviewed. And we'll give an account. I'll give an account. You will give an account of what we've done to reach a world for Jesus Christ. And my mom and daddy were afflicted with two Baptist preacher boys. There's two of us, six kids, four girls, and two boys, and both of us are Baptist preachers. My brother I was captain of the football team at Sodder Daisy. And we had the worst record they ever had there. I won two and lost nine. And my brother was captain of the football team later on, 4.5 years later. And they had the best record. They won nine and lost two. But anyway, we both became Baptist preachers. My brother told me a while back, he said, Gene, he said, I was preaching on the judgment seat of Christ the other day. And he said, I got to thinking. He said, I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus. And I'm looking forward to heaven, but I'm not looking forward to the judgment seat of Christ. And I am the same way. I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus. I want to see him someday. Been living for him for all these years. And I plan on seeing Jesus someday in all of his glory. Oh, it's going to be a wonderful day when we see. But and I want to see all the love that's gone on before. But I'm not looking forward, first of all, to the judgment seat of Christ. And because we'll give an account and we'll be rewarded according to our faithfulness. Let me give you a fifth reason why we have a faith promise program. And that is because of heavenly rewards. The greatest rewards in heaven will not go to the great athlete or the great politician or the businessman or the great musician or the great Sunday school teachers or even the preachers. But you know who it's going to, the greatest rewards are going to go to the soul winners. Daniel 12:3 says, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn men into righteousness as the stars forever and forever. So if you want to outshine the stars, if you want to shine one day when the heavens and the earth flee away, then win souls to Jesus Christ and then also give of your financial means so that God called missionaries could go to the regions beyond and tell them about Jesus. And you'll shine for all eternity. You can pray, you can give, and you can go if God calls. But folks, if you stay here, you ought to promote missions wherever you are, sending people around the world to tell them about Jesus. Why have a faith promise program? Because it's scriptural, because of the spoiling harvest, because we have a personal debt if we've been saved, because there's a judgment seat of Christ right on out there, and because of the heavenly rewards. Then let me give you one other reason for a faith promise program. Because I believe, because of the nearness of our Lord's return, I believe we're living close to the Lord's return. And many of you think that the November election is going to turn things around. I hate to disappoint you. If we don't have Holy Ghost revival across America, no political party is going to turn this thing around. I believe probably the only answer to the problems we face today is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that's the ultimate answer to the problems of this world. This old world is falling apart at the seams, morally, spiritually, politically, and in every way. And all signs point to the soon return of the Lord and the sound of the trumpet. I believe we're living so close to the sound of the trumpet that we're almost rubbing up against the trumpet. And what we are going to do, folks, for Christ in this matter of world evangelization, we must do it quickly. When Jesus comes, all opportunity of salvation is going to be over. And just think now, when Jesus comes back and raptures us who are saved out of here, just think of the millions and the billions that are going to be left behind on this earth. And they'll enter awful tribulation. They'll worship, those that are left behind will worship the Antichrist and see God's judgment poured out on this earth. The moon will turn to blood, and the sun, God will hang sackcloth over the sun, and it'll refuse to shine. One day, folks, God's going to shake this old world. He's going to shake it. And when he does, stars will fall like fig trees coming off of an untimely fig tree, giving up its untimely figs. And the rocks, the people will run to the rocks and the mountains and say, "Fall on us and save us from him that sitteth upon the throne and from the face of the Lamb and from the wrath of the Lamb." So we need to work, for the night is coming when man's work is done. Let me ask you this. If Jesus would come back right now, would you be caught up to meet him? Or would you be left behind? And Christian, let me ask you this. If the trumpet would sound right now, would you be ashamed at his appearing? Jesus may come in the morning. Jesus may come at noon. Jesus may come in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. Jesus said in Matthew 24:44, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one leaving, please, unless it's an emergency. We're all coming to a climax in just a moment. How many of you now? This is a great day for missions around the world. But you may be here this morning, and you may be sitting in this service, and you may be lost, and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. Maybe you are a Christian, and you've gotten away from the Lord. And we want to just take for a moment and look and speak to you. Would you, if the Lord would come back right now, would you be caught out? Would you be ashamed if he'd come right now? How many would say, "Preacher Lashley, I'm glad I can say this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm glad I can say today that I have been saved. And if the Lord would come back right now, I'd be caught up to meet him." If you can say that, just slip your hand right up now. Wave it just a little bit. Praise the Lord. Now put your hands back down. Maybe you couldn't say that, but you say, "Preacher Lashley, I would like to know that I know that I know that I'm saved." You can know that if you'll just come to Jesus, and he'll give you that peace, and just trust him and take him as your Savior. You can have that peace down in your heart that you're a child of God. Or maybe you wandered away from the Lord. Maybe you just need to come rededicate your life this morning. If you'll say, preacher, pray for me in this closing word of prayer. If God's speaking to your heart, let me just pray for you. Just slip up your hand, preacher. I'm here today, but I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you pray for me? Just hold your hand up right quick, and I will remember in prayer. Anyone right quick? Anyone say, yes, God bless you. God bless you, sir. Anyone else? Maybe you're here and say, preacher, I'm saved, but I just need to do business with God. I need to rededicate my life today. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Just slip your hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Well, we're going to pray now. Father, I pray that you take this message and, Lord, speak to our hearts. I pray that you'd help us to do God's will in this faith promise offering today. And now, Lord, this one dear man raised his hand for prayer. There's others probably needed to raise their hand. And I pray for him and others, God. When the invitation is given, I pray that this one will come down this aisle and take Christ and be saved today, or rededicate their life, whatever the need is. Have your way. May the Holy Spirit of God, and all men, women, boys, and girls, down this altar right now. Just keep your head bowed and eyes closed, please. Brother Gary, let's just sing quickly, Have Thine Own Way. And if the Lord speak into your heart, if you say, preacher, I don't know that I know what I'm saved, but I'd like to know. Or I want to rededicate my life, or I want to join this church. Brother Joey, the pastor standing right here. Why don't you get up right now and come down? Want to raise his hand, won't you come? Let's just sing softly now, heads bowed. Pray. There's one that raised a hand that didn't come forward, sir. I ask you to come on right now. If Jesus is speaking to your heart, won't you come on right now? Trust Christ. Rededicate your life. Whatever you need to do, come on.
Pressuring anybody. We don't believe in that. We do believe that the Lord draws people and He convicts. There may be one here today say, Jody, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. We're not going to try to drag you down or anything like that to this altar. But in your heart, if you know the Lord wants you to come, we simply want to leave the door open while people are praying. If that's you today, Brother Gary is going to sing in just a moment one more verse, unless somebody else responds. If you're not comfortable coming yourself, bring somebody with you. If you're sitting beside somebody that you know, we want to help you. We want this to be a time when God does business with you. In just a moment, Brother Gary will sing, and I will just keep the invitation open just for a moment here while folks are praying. Matter of fact, let's all stand together just a moment. If you wouldn't mind to do that, it might make it a little bit easier. Your heads are still bowed. Your eyes are still closed. Nobody's looking around. As Brother Gary sings, God is dealing with you. Why don't you come now as he sings?
Have mine own way, Lord. Have mine own way.
Still time for you.
Let's pray.
Still time. Look this way. I like when the Lord works in people's hearts and people are still responding. This is one of those things that we're going to give these people time. You understand that, don't you?
Yeah.
I want you to have a seat if you wouldn't mind to do that. And while you're seated, we're praying with folks. Let me just simply make a few comments, because our preacher's going to come back in just a moment and explain the Faith Promise card. Let me speak to those who are visiting with us. This Faith Promise Sunday about missions giving, it does not include you. This is strictly a Sunday that's set apart for our own church people. Our members are those who feel like this is where God has called you. All it is a card that you folks have prayed, you've sought the Lord. And this is something, we're not going to take an offering today. This has nothing to do with that. This is just you writing down on a card. The preacher explained, you don't even have to put your name on it. This is between you and the Lord. This is not something that will come to your door, knock on your door and say, where is he? You see what I'm saying? Nothing like that at all. It's between you and God. But I just wanted to mention to the visitors, because we have several of you, that this is not you that we're speaking about. We're just glad you're here today. Amen? Wonderful. This is what this church is in existence for. It's in existence to get the gospel out. And it takes money to do that. And my wife and I are going to be giving and increasing our giving this year. The Lord has laid a specific amount in our hearts. And we give him all the glory and praise for it. Amen. No doubt about it. Hank Hogan, if you wouldn't mind, his real name is Ryan, but it goes by Hank, right? This is Hank Hogan. And he's coming today. He's been saved, but he wants to join our church by baptism. And we're thrilled. No doubt about it. I'm getting ready to perform their wedding in just a little while. Not this coming week, but the next week. And we're thrilled for you. And no doubt about it. Could I have a motion to receive him on his baptism? Could I have a motion? Brother Edmund, second. Brother Shaw, all in favor, say aye and raise your hand aye. Aye. All opposed, same sign. Very good. This is encouraging. This is a dear couple that's come today. Is this your first time here? This is their first time here. This is James and Heather. I may butcher this, okay? As a matter of fact, let me not butcher it. How do you pronounce your last name? Brashears. This is James and Heather Brashears. This is their first time here today. And they are both coming today as a couple to rededicate their life to Jesus Christ. That means they've been saved. All that means is that they've drifted away and they want to come back. Not for salvation, just their fellowship, their walk with the Lord. You understand? We're thrilled you're here. God bless you. And I'll look forward, God willing, to visiting with you if you'll let me in your home, okay? Very good. God bless you. Thank you for being here. And this is Letitia. Is it Garber? Is that correct? She's coming today, and she desires to become a member of our church by baptism. We're having a baptismal service next Sunday morning, by the way, and we're thrilled about this. Wonderful. Could I get a motion that we receive her on her baptism? A motion, please. Brother Snodgrass. Very good. Brother Stover, second. All in favor, say aye and raise your hand high. All opposed, same sign. So carry. We're thrilled for you and thrilled for you. There may be one today that doesn't know Jesus as your Savior. Yes. If you're here today not sure that heaven is your home, the greatest decision that you'll ever make is to receive Christ as your Savior. You don't have to do that at a church altar. You can do that in the privacy of your own home. And I trust that you'll do that. Now, our preacher's going to come. He's going to explain this Faith Promise card to our folks. If you're visiting, don't let this scare you, okay? He's going to explain this to our folks, and we're going to see where we stand this morning, and then we'll be dismissed.
I tell you, the thrill of that man standing there while his wife was being prayed with, I said, sir, why'd you come? He said, I come to rededicate my life to the Lord. That's a wonderful thing. I remember Annis came one time, kneeled right there, rededicated her life, and got on fire for God, been on fire for God, hadn't slowed down since that yet. Well, ushers come, please, and These cards, you who are members of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, or if you are attending here and would like to participate in, and the Lord is leading you to participate, but now certainly visitors, as Brother Jody said, you can stand and just sit right here and watch us see how we operate our mission, world mission program. But everyone take one of these as they come up the aisle there, go right ahead, gentlemen, pass these out, and hold it for just a few moments, and I want to explain what we're doing. Now, we do have new members that this is new to you, and I need to take just 2 or 3 minutes to explain it. So go ahead and get one of these and hold it for a few moments. Don't put anything down until I want to just explain it, and then have a short word of prayer. Then we'll all put what the Lord wants us to put on the card there. Maybe you want to hit up a theme there, music to give by while we're passing these cards out. Does anyone else need one of these now? Anyone else? Raise your hand if you need one. Anyone else? Okay, Betty. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Now turn on the back, and it just has just a little explanation of our faith promise plan of giving to missions. Now, what it is not, I'm just going to quickly go down this. You're not pledging. And a pledge means that somebody probably will check on you and make sure you fulfill your pledge. Nobody's going to ask you. This is between you and the Lord, and we're not going to dun you for this. It is, notice B there, it's not something someone will come to collect. No, it's between you and the Lord. And then D there, it is not taken away, you're not to take away from what you're presently giving to the church to put in this. Then what it is, it's between you and God. Not between you and the Pastor Jody or myself or anyone. It's between you and God. We want it to be a heart matter. And it is waiting upon God to tell you what he wants you to put down there, above your tithe. This is above the tithe. Now, you say, well, the Lord's laid a mount on my heart. I don't know where I can do it or not. What if the Lord's laid it on your heart? Say, Lord, I'm going to put that amount down, and you'll have to supply the need. And if he doesn't supply the need, you don't have to give it. So, and then just trust the Lord to supply it. And this is a heart matter and a spiritual matter. I've been giving down through the years, for 40 years, folks, and I thank God. One day when I see the Lord, I'll be glad that I gave to World Missions. And you can't outgive God. You give, and he'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and I'll be able to receive it. Now, let me just say, now turn over to there. I always put my name down. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm glad that the Lord's allowed me. Now, if you can only give $1, $2, or $5 a week, or $25, or $50, or $100, whatever you can give a week, it's between you and the Lord. And a dollar gift, if it's what the Lord wants you to give, or $5, whatever it is just as important as a lot. We need large ones. We need small ones also. But now, it's weekly for our computation, so we'll know how much to expect. If you're going to give, say, twice a month or monthly, break it down in weekly, how much that would be per week, and write down here right on the right-hand side of your card, write in weekly for missions right there. If you're going to give, say, $20 a month, write it in $5 for a week. So we're going to add up weekly. We're going to multiply it, but weekly here. Put your name down there, and let's have a word of prayer now. And folks, I'm sure I've down through the years, I've asked you to give as a Holy Spirit would lead you in this. Remember, souls are in the balance. And I know Brother Jody, that's what exactly what he wants. Father, I beg you from my heart to help these dear people. Lord, I know that God, if they'll give to missions, that the Lord will bless their lives and be a good example for their children to see Dad and Mom giving to missions. And Lord, just lead us now, right now, what to put down here. We who are members, or if they attend the church, and lead us and by your Spirit, and put down here what you feel, we feel impressed in our heart by the Holy Spirit to give per week during the next year. And then, Lord, take it and bless it and multiply it in souls around the world. And may we see people in heaven someday because of what we give in this commitment this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, go right ahead and put your name down there on the card, or you don't have to put your name down. And then put by how much per week that the Lord is leading you to give to the Faith Promise program here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Go right ahead.
Just in case we're speaking to somebody who comes to this church, you're a member, you know the Lord wants you to give, but if you're still praying about it, we're going to keep this door open for several weeks, okay? So don't feel like you have to put your amount down. I'm saying if you're still seeking the Lord's will about this, we want you to know what God wants you to give. And if you do know that, my wife and I know, I hope most of you do, hope all of you do, but just in case there's somebody who may feel like they have to put it down today, we're gonna have this ongoing for several weeks, okay? Just keep that in mind.
Okay. Then pass your cards in, please, to the center aisles and the aisles on the other side. Just pass them in, and the ushers will come by and pick them up. So just start passing them to the end there. And okay, ushers, you might bring a few up and get me started on it here. Okay, $15. $25. $25. Now, this is money above the tithe we're giving to the cause of missions. $20. $35, $5, $5, $155, $65, $130, $20, $2, $10, $5, $5. Now some will come in $5.25, $5.50. We'll just go ahead and give the round figure, and when we tally it later, we'll add that in there. $12, $2, $40, $5, $50, $20, $45, $5, $5, $5, $31, $5, $3, $15, $20, $5, $17, $125, $15, $10, $16, $3, $40, $15, $10, $15, $160, $3, $36, $25, $20, $15, $5, $10, $25, $20, $5, $25, $50. Let's stop, just have a preliminary count, so we got so far.
$75,660,
okay. Amen. $5, $5, $75, $40, $30, $50, $1, $15, $10, $5, $15, $10, $5, $5, $5, $10, $13, $40, $17, $80, $5, $75, $6, $11, $43, $34, $25, $40, $15, $27, $500, $7, $2, $104, $15, $5, $15, $5, $5, $2, $75, $2, $55, $75, $15. Let's get another preliminary count. Amen. Amen. Let's keep going here. $3, $10, $20, $50, $46, $10. Let me stop and say this. Folks, this not a penny of this money is going to be spent on paying salaries here at this church. It's going around the world to get the gospel out. So it's in others. It's an offering for others to help others reach others. $10, $25, $12, $20, $6, $10, $31, $20, $5, $23, $36, $2, $50, $25, $12, $30, $12, $5, $300, $200, $250, $10, $250, $20, $7, $95, $2, $20, $72, $16, $25, $15, $120. Now what do we have as a grand total thus far?
$256,308.
$256,308. Amen. Amen. We'll continue this tonight. Some are back there working in children's church in the nursery. Some couldn't be here this morning. And we'll continue for the next two or three weeks. Folks, that's wonderful. Thank God you're to be commended. And remember, the Lord's keeping the books. Nobody ever tells you they appreciate it. The Lord sees it. And it's a matter of reaching souls for Christ. Let's stand and sing, "Blessed be the tie that binds." Thank you, Brother Joe.
Praise God.
All right, let's praise God and do more blessings.
Praise God from whom
start. Amen. Praise the Lord for it. Let me remind the visitors right quickly, just in case this is your first time, please take the visitor's card out the back, out there at the Welcome Center. We've got a special gift for you just for saying thank you for being here. God bless you tonight at 6:30. Hope you'll be in your place. You are dismissed. Thank you for being here.